When it comes to being an adult, there are some things we need some practice in. Adults have to be able to do some things like deal with difficult people, deal with rejection, deal with ridicule, even deal with bullies, deal with being laughed at, deal with failure, deal with being laid off. There are just some things as an adult we need to be prepared for that nothing prepares us for. We need to help our children process those things as children so they can go back and deal with them and remember them when they're adults.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm Ruthie J., your host, and this week we've been talking about noticing your child's pain. If you missed Monday or Tuesday's program, you can listen to them again for free online at parentingonpurpose.org. Monday, we talked about things to notice when your child's mood changes and how they indicate pain.
Yeah, looking at that child who tries to stay under the radar even.
Yeah.
You got your loud child. You're going to know every emotion in the life of that child. Oh, yeah. They're awesome. They're awesome. They're wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know somebody, you know, watching Tori drag her backpack on the ground across the parking lot of fifth or sixth grade. And, you know, oh, okay, this one had a bad day. And you're trying for all your worth not to laugh. And I had to really work at that sometimes. And she's our smart one. Or she's our show it all, put it all out there. And I just want to make sure my dad sees me dragging this backpack because life stinks.
Right.
Yes. And then you got the other one who just gets in the car. Hey, Rob, how was school? Good. And just gets in the car and you look through the rearview mirror and you see it. Something happened today.
Yeah.
And that's the one. I mean, you got to deal with both of them. But unfortunately, the one who stays under the radar and internalizes everything, that one is the one that all of a sudden it can build and build and build. And there's a problem.
Yeah.
You got to go after them.
Yeah. Yesterday, then we talked about, are you actually available as a parent? And why some kids don't automatically come to you with their pain. And maybe it's for many reasons. You're not available. You're just too busy. There's too much going on. You don't even know how to start the conversation. Or you've blown up in the past. And so they're scared of your reaction. So there's, if you want to, again, hear that program, we discussed it yesterday, go to parentingonpurpose.org. But it is hard to talk about pain. I mean, we as adults sometimes have a hard time.
No, we don't. We medicate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we buy, we watch, we do whatever, or worse, medications, because we haven't been trained. Because we've been told we're special, because we grew up and we were special, and then all of a sudden we realize we're not special. We're like everybody else in life has difficulty.
I don't deserve this. I hear that all the time.
Yeah, this is sad. What I deserve is hell. That's what I deserve. I certainly
just
don't.
Just get it clear.
Yeah, I don't deserve the privilege of living in America. All that God has given me through Christ is absolutely inconceivably astounding. But I'm still a kid. If we're talking about adults that don't get it, I'm still a child. And so help me here. Help me process failure. Because here's the thing. I will learn more from difficulty than I will learn from kicking soccer goals.
Yeah.
If you're there to help me process, if you're there to help me go through it. It was interesting in the city finals one year in Roby's team made it to the city final soccer thing. And one of the kid that was playing the goalie, was just not listening to the coach. He, you know, move over, do this, do that. He wasn't listening. He shut down. So Roby was, I don't know all the soccer positions. I spent a lifetime watching soccer, never even figuring out what offsides was. I never got that. But he was up front, the guy who ran down the whole field, and they pulled him back and they put him in goalie for the last 10 minutes. And his face might as well have Wilson on it. I mean, he got pulverized and they lost. He's a great player, but they lost. And the coach came over and gave him a hug and thanked him for jumping in there and doing a job that he didn't ordinarily do. And we were walking off the field and Roby said, why did he thank me? We lost. And we went for French fries and we're sitting there just doing our tradition downloading. And I said, no, you know what? You tried. That's all he asked you to do was try. You went in there and tried. To me, you were a champion, but we lost, Dad. Oh, you're always going to lose. The sad thing is when you lose and you know you didn't even try. When you lose and you know you tried, that's amazing. I was proud of you. I was jumping up and down and screaming. It was great. We'll get the tattoo of Wilson off your forehead that when you got creamed by the ball. It's all good. Learning to deal with failure, learning to do all these things in life are so important. Learning to deal with being laughed at. You know, I will never forget, in my era, it was called junior high. It was 10th grade. I arrived from New York City suburbs to a school in Washington, D.C., and saw this kid my second or third day of school in the cafeteria with a lunch tray and coming out, and he dropped his lunch tray on the floor. And I'm sitting by myself watching, thinking, you are kidding me. I'm so glad that's not me. He drops his lunch tray on the floor, turns and looks at everybody who's laughing at him, and he bows. Everybody is
perfect.
Cheering, and two people got up and helped him clean it up.
Oh.
And I thought, somebody has taught him how cool it is to handle things like that without getting devastated and running out of the cafeteria. I know his name to this day. Mm-hmm. I remember his name to this day, and that was 200 years ago just because of, wow, he handled it. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some other things dealing with injustice, dealing with difficult people, rejection, bullies, ridicule, all those things. We're all going to need to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And so when my child goes into a hole over that, I need to go after it. I need to decide, okay, something's going on, but it takes an inordinate amount of time. Why does it take so long? And we tend to think, this child doesn't want to talk to me about this. No, this child doesn't want to talk to me about this either because I judge, I fix, or this child just doesn't know how to get it out. Mm. I don't know how to tell you because it's embarrassing, or I don't know how to tell you because I don't know how to say how badly my feelings got hurt because I was made to look foolish in a classroom. Mm-hmm. And so it's a pulling and listening and okay, I'm going to stay here. And one time it was even lying in bed next to Tori in her bed and talking to her stuffed animal. And, you know, she's 12 years old and I'm talking to her stuffed animal and saying, you know, I know something happened today. I don't know exactly what happened, but Bear, you got to help me figure this thing out. And so maybe Bear, you talk to her. And Tori's trying not to laugh. And so all of a sudden she's starting to
talk.
Rolling
her eyes.
Yeah. And just, it was just great. I'm here and I'm going to bug you because I love you, and I'm not going to bug you, but I'm going to love you enough. I want to hear. Now, here's the reality. I wanted to go back and watch the game. You know, it's Monday night, the football game's on, but I know this is the biggest game, and winning this game right here of getting her to open up and feel safe is important.
And the fact is that she really does want that, but either moods or there are stages in life where, especially like teens and preteens, they're pushing you away, and what they desperately want is to bring you in.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're so confused.
How much do you love me?
Yeah. I'm going to make your life miserable, but I want you to be my hero.
Well, how many times have we seen movies where she goes in the movie, the heroine goes, and they meet later on, and he says, well, you left. And she says, but you didn't come after me.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with our babies, with our children, with our teens. You know, you didn't come after me emotionally. Mm-hmm. This is so important. And it starts with, hey, something's happening. Mm-hmm. It starts with noticing. And if there's a couple in the home, that's where a husband and wife discuss it and make the determination, who's the one to go after this? Mm-hmm. And it's different in every home.
Yeah.
It was always Rosemary.
And she's the one who
they opened up to her first. Mm-hmm. And I think they opened up to her assuming she would talk to me, assuming that I would do something. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about the steps tomorrow for doing something. But to decide as a team, there's something happening here. And sometimes it means violating the rules. Sometimes it means, yes, 9 o'clock's a bedtime, but I'm going to go in at 8:30 because I know you're having a bad day. And I'm going to say, I want you to put some clothes on. We're going for a drive. What? Yes, we're going for a drive. And it may be going to get a Jamba Juice, maybe going to do whatever, just to so break their routine that I know something's happening and I want to know who hurt your feelings or what happened today.
And it's hard when you're so busy that there's no face-to-face time too. I mean, it is practice. You've got piano on Monday, soccer on Tuesday. Every night is so packed up that you don't even have family dinner, looking at each other in the face to even see if your kid is
so
moody
about
something.
What is that saying?
Yeah, there's no time for emotions around here either.
And that's saying time to change the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I think we don't believe this, but I think it's actually become easier to drop them off and subcontract them out to activities than to figure out how to have a relationship, even though they're screaming for activities. I want to do this. I want to do that. That's why we did one sport a year, because we had other things to do. And when we did do one sport a year, then we spent other time, me discovering if this is an engineer in Roby, me putting together a model aircraft carrier with him and keeping his hands busy was an excuse to talk to him and ask questions. When we're this busy, we miss the child's heart.
Well, and you know, my husband, having been a soccer coach for many years, you see parents that have overdone their kids, and it's because they want to be good at everything. They need to be musical, but then also athletic. But then I'm thinking, you can't even get enough scholarships for all that. If like college is your goal, even for one of those, why are you filling it up with other? So the logic of being so over busy, also, we have to double check that. Why are we being so busy?
Two reasons we're being so busy. One is we actually believe that there's a verse in there that says idle hands are the devil's tool.
Mm.
But busy hands open up the mind for the devil to work. No one's learning how to think. The other thing is, we were told in the 80s and 90s that performance is the access to self-esteem. If you become a good performer, you will have a high self-esteem. And then all of a sudden we see all these people that have busied themselves right into a hole and are not people, they're performers, and they don't know how to not perform. They go off and get married and expect their spouse to be constantly applauding their performance. But there's never enough performance, because you go from regular soccer to travel soccer. You go from regular making this money to needing to make that money to needing to have the things and the accoutrements of having that kind of money, and there's never peace. I have never arrived. Self-esteem cannot be what I can do. Self-esteem needs to be in whose I am. Mm-hmm. I either belong to this culture or I belong to Christ. Paul in prison makes an amazing statement. I've learned to be content. He said, I've counted all joy. I want for my children this opportunity of contentment and joy. That means help me sort. Help me sort when the arrows of unhappiness and the arrows of discontentment, and when you see me in a little bit of a hole, help me talk about it. I got my feelings hurt today, but I'm never going to say I got my feelings hurt. I'm going to say there's an idiot at school that said something nasty to me today and everybody laughed. Wow. Rather than say, well, you say something right back, or no. And we actually would do some role playing sometimes. Okay, show me how that happened. Let me be you and you do it to me. Just show me how that looks. Mm. And it'd be hilarious. And they'd realize how ridiculous I look being trying to be all the options.
Well, that's probably because you weren't as calm and collected like they were at the moment.
Oh, so much fun. It was so much fun. But show, what are the options here? There are options here. And helping them realize, and a big phrase in my life was giving up the remote control. Don't give up the remote control to your happiness to somebody else. Mm. Paul said, I've learned to be content. I count it all joy in prison. Mm-hmm. So how do we expect them to get this? And if we don't get this, then they're propagandized by the media, by you'll be happy if you buy this next whatever. You'll be happy if you look like this. You'll be happy if you have this cosmetic work done. You'll be happy when this happens, rather than, wow, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And your father, because we know that all things work together for good, has permitted this training. But I have to be, as a parent, part of the training process.
It's almost like we've become great doers of everything instead of beers. Oh. You know, we don't know how to just sit and have relationship and how to sit and talk with our kids and have something that will trigger something. If it's a board game or just dinner around the table, how many
being
families
together, yes.
Don't even have
We're
dinner.
Human doings instead of human beings. Yeah. And we need to get back to being human beings together. A board game's a perfect thing. There's no child that wants to play a board game. Boring. Forget the D on board. This is boring. Playing a board game, laughing with each other, beating dad at Monopoly or whatever the game is. But also we're talking also. And then later on, Tori, let's go for a walk. Just give me a walk. Let's just go for a walk. Did something happen in school? Did mom talk to you? I'm asking you, did something happen in school? Mom, yes, she did.
Yes, okay, fine.
And the only reason she talked about me is, hey, we love you. What can I do? Well, you could go talk. No, no. I can listen to you first. Tell me what happened. Mm-hmm. I want them to express it. I want them to get it out. But that's an affirmation in itself that I care.
Mm. What happens, though, if it's just awkward in that relationship? I mean, what would you even say? Like, I don't have that kind of relationship with my daughter, for example, a dad would say, and it's just awkward. Where do I even start?
Well, you know, it's awkward if you're a salesman to go in and start the conversation and make the sale, but you're highly motivated. Somebody asked to actually go with me when I'm part of the fundraising plan here at Sheridan House. How do you go do that? And you just go and you do that, and you mm-hmm. put everything on the table and you do that. And is it awkward at first? Yes. The rejection, is that fun? No. But eventually it gets to be, you know, this is worth it. I mean, I've seen what God has done in the life of Sheridan House through just going and setting an appointment and asking somebody. It's the same with your child. The motivation is not to fix. It's to get to the heart of the child. It's to get in there and release some of the ooze, some of the life difficulty. And I want to be a part of that. So yes, it's awkward. And they don't have the words. It's awkward. They want to talk, but they don't. But they do, but they don't. They don't want to go for a walk with me. This is weird, Dad. But it's the beginning, because if I don't do it, their first spouse or first employer mm-hmm. will have to do it. I'm raising them so they're most likely to succeed. And part of that is learn how to express your pain in a godly way rather than an unacceptable, sinful way. I want to be the one that overcomes the awkward, even though the child's awkward. I want to begin to open the doors to their pain to help them get it out.
You've been listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm Ruthie J., your host. And if today's program has been a help to you, or you know someone that could really just listen to today's program, go online to parentingonpurpose.org. And if you are curious about Sheridan House Family Ministries, the children's homes, the counseling center, you can go to shfm.org. And even the resources there all go to support the children's homes. You can even support with a simple text, two-letter text. The letters are SH, and send that message to number 41518. That'll add $10 to your cell phone bill and go straight to help the children's homes. We hope you join us tomorrow. We'll continue talking about noticing your child's pain on Parenting on Purpose.